Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on the day before Thanksgiving Day. Today is a very special and thankful day. I have a very close friend with me, Miss Susan Livingston, in the house, and we'll be talking more with her about an organization called Outside Seattle. And we also decided kind of impromptu to bring our daughter. So we have our daughters in with us today too. Not sure if they're going to say anything. They're looking at me like, I don't want to say anything. But it's really kind of exciting having the girls here today. So this is fun. So Eric, what do you think? Hi.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. It's a room full of girls.
That's always fine with me.
Yeah, I'm sure it probably is.
I was raised by a pack of wild women, so, you know,
this is nothing new to me. Yeah. Well, I'm thankful for you. You've been an excellent producer.
And thank you very much.
It's been a year, and we're celebrating
a year. It's
just
flown by.
It really, really has. Yeah. Imagine what's going to come up next year. We've had 51, now 52, now 53 different nonprofit organizations.
55. Let's keep going.
Keep going.
That's right.
So I'm very thankful for all the guests and the sponsors that have been on the show. It's been a great year.
Absolutely.
We're excited. And of course, our fantastic, wonderful sponsor, the Pearsons, where you can expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. And we're very, very excited because next week we've got a couple of announcements. Next week, the show is moving to its new time. Mm-hmm. We're no longer going to be on at 4. We're actually going to be on an hour earlier at 3.
Right,
so we're
on.
Follow the Dog Show.
Very cool.
That'd be really exciting. And then Brashnomics is going to take our spot that we have right now.
That's right.
Very excited.
Still a little flip-flop thing.
We're just flipping-flopping, and everybody's going to be much happier, and I think that's a great time for us. So I'm really excited to be on right after the Dog Show. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be great. And next week, Michelle Pearson is actually going to be hosting the show. Pearson Law Firm's going to be hosting.
Oh, right on. So it'll be good to see her again.
Oh, she's great.
She's always got tons of really good information for folks out there.
Yes. And so for those of you that don't know, yeah, she's one of those great lawyers. She's not just a lawyer or a good lawyer. She's an excellent lawyer. And she is one of those people that is very, very passionate about helping the underdog. And she's really, really great about recognizing when there's people that are getting eaten alive by the system. And she fights for them tooth and nail. And she's been very successful at it and has just been an angel for so many people that have needed a lawyer to fight for them. Mm-hmm. So she's excellent. She'll be on next week, and I'm not exactly sure what her topic is, but I'm sure it'll be absolutely fascinating and fantastic, and people will learn a lot. So
I'll tell you, last time she hosted the show, she talked about what to do if you're ever in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think everybody needed to know but didn't necessarily think about. So
yeah.
She's always got good information like that, so worth listening to.
Yeah, she's great. And if you go to her Facebook page, too, you can sign up for her tips. And so she takes the show and she does this really great marketing thing. She parses it out. And she does little tips, so you can get lots of little tips just in time. Or if you know somebody who just got in a car accident, say, you know, Pearson Law, they've got some really great little tips you should listen to. So it's what a great resource. And we're very excited that Michelle's going to be on next week.
Cool.
I don't know if I'm going to be here or not, but I'm going to be wishing for.
Well, are you going to still be in a turkey coma? Is that the thing?
Probably. I'm starting an interesting new diet.
Mm-hmm.
Starting tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day.
That seems like a bad day to start a diet.
It does, except for the tenets of this diet is they want you to load with as much food and fat as possible for a couple of days first.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
I think I'm on that diet every day. I never get past that first hump, but
I'm officially going to start tomorrow, but I think I've been ramping up to it this whole week. And so I'm really ready to do the load, and then we'll see what happens. But we'll be talking more about that. Yeah, I'll be talking a lot more about that if it's successful like I think it will be. We'll be talking more about that on the show. And then also wanted to let folks know that we've got 1 week left of our Facebook contest. And the way that that works is if you go to Walk the Talk with Kim on Facebook and you like the page, I'm going to donate $1 to Love Uganda. If you go to Walk the Talk for Success, which is my business, I will donate another $1. So for just 2 likes, you can donate $2. So far, we've raised almost $150 for Love Uganda. And
nice.
Of course, that buys pillows and that buys beds for orphanages in Uganda. And enter yourself to win a drawing for a free T-shirt, a Love Uganda T-shirt. So it's win, win, win all around. Everybody wins.
Excellent. Well, it is the season for giving, so perfect.
Absolutely. So we've got one more week of that going through the end of November, so don't forget. And you can get that information on walkthetalkwithkim.com.
I like it.
It's a lot of fun. And then one more thing I want to let folks know about before we jump right into our discussion today is I have been informed that I am going to be under arrest and go to jail on December 15th.
Now, what did you do?
Well, I think I don't know exactly what I did. Somebody said I needed to go to jail. So the Muscular Dystrophy Association is putting me in jail.
I see.
Yes. And in order to get out of jail, I have to raise about $2,000 for the organization.
Got to get that bail.
Yes. Got to get that bail. So when you go to my Facebook page at Walk the Talk with Kim, there's a link there where you can put in some money and get me out of jail. Or if you'd rather look at it from a different slant, it puts me in jail to begin with. Mm-hmm. So if you want me to go to jail, you can donate money as well. Does that make it? Probably doesn't make any sense, but I'm spinning it. I'm working it. I got a marketing executive sitting next to me going, yeah, that's not working, but it might, you know, who knows? Sure. But my son was a little bit concerned when I told him I was going to jail. He had a lot of questions for me.
Well, here's hoping you don't get shivved first. First and foremost,
I'm in there with Carol Waters. Susan knows Carol Waters, and she might shiv. She could definitely be a shiver. But yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We're going to get arrested at the hospital.
And stay away from the toilet wine.
Well, we're going to be at Finity's, which is an Irish pub and bar.
Okay.
And I asked them.
So it's not real jail.
I think I could go to jail
this place too myself.
I asked them if they would feed me some Guinness, and they didn't really come right out and say whether they would or not. So I don't know if that's an official stance of the MDA to provide alcohol to their jailies, but be sure I'll be having some Guinness that day too. Well maybe not. We'll see what happens.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time, I guess.
Oh, you're right, I guess. You're right. Yes, Eric, you're absolutely right. All that information will be on walkthetalkwithkim.com as well as my Facebook page at Walk the Talk with Kim. You can also follow me on Twitter at Walk the Talk with Kim. So that's Walk the Talk W Kim. Couldn't get the whole with in there, so that's what we have on it. Walk the Talk with Kim. So there you are on Twitter. So without any further ado, let's welcome Miss Susan Livingston. Susan, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you're here. Now, you've been on the show before, and the last time we talked about marketing tips for nonprofits.
That's right.
And you can find that show on our archives. It's on podcast and iTunes, so you can go and hear more information there. But like me, you wear multiple hats.
Yes,
I do. So this hat you're going to be wearing is with an organization called Outside Seattle. And I love the idea of people in the community helping people in the community. And this organization is very much about that. But it goes even further. But before we get into what Outside Seattle is, why don't you tell us about the situation that people may not know about in the state of Washington as it reflects our tourism office?
You bet. Well, Washington State recently legislature made the decision recently to eliminate funding for tourism at a state level. So considering the tourism resources and assets we have here in our state to play with, that's just a huge loss, and specifically a loss to our local economies and our state economy. So Outside Seattle, Washington State Tourism Alliance, and several other partners are working hard to fill that gap and to make sure we leverage what we have here to folks who live here in Washington State, our local neighbors, and folks all over the state, and certainly beyond to the national and international markets.
Now, what does a tourism board do? Because some people are saying, oh, yeah, great, we'd save some money. But help us understand how big of a hit that was for the people of Washington State to lose that tourism office.
Well, it's $15 million approximately was lost in the budget. And that's essentially what it would take to service that under one umbrella. So essentially what's happening is a lot of local entities are partnering, forming all kinds of creative strategic partnerships and new business models to be able to fund that function across our state at a regional level, local level, and then also at the state level, and then pushing those things out at the international level and certainly across the country.
So typically a tourism board would do programs and marketing, not necessarily for people in-state, although I think that's part of it, but there's a lot that goes outside nationally and worldwide to help bring people into the state of Washington, and that funding is gone. So I think what I hear you saying is individuals and organizations that care, those in the tourism industry and those care about the health and vibrance of their communities, mm-hmm. got together and said, we still have to do that. We still have to send delegates to wherever they have to go around the world to say, hey, if you're going to spend your money and you're coming to America, come to Seattle. And so that's what's happening right now. When does that transition happen, or has it already happened?
It has happened, actually. The Washington Tourism Alliance has now formed, and this is a statewide effort. It is an independent nonprofit, a 501c6. They have a terrific executive director named Suzanne Fletcher, who is leading this charge at the state level and then also representing the state's interest beyond Washington State. The organization is certainly partnered with the Seattle Convention and Visitors Bureau and with other local entities such as Outside Seattle.
People need to understand, we're not just talking about tourism in terms of hotel rooms and taxis. And tourism is a huge part of the state, of revenues that come in the state. And it, you know, one person who has a bed and breakfast contributes to their community, and that's what keeps the community going. So all of our lives are touched by the dollars that come into the state for tourism.
Yeah, you bet. We're not only looking for attention and investment from tourists from all over the world, but even from folks who are responding to the change in the economy and just spending a lot more time in their own backyard playing. And we're really fortunate here to have so many fun places to play.
Boy, so Outside Seattle is a conglomeration of what? Now, who's kind of looking at that? So it's obviously not Seattle.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But it's Outside Seattle.
Well, yes, we work in partnership with the folks working at the city level with the Seattle Convention and Visitors Bureau. But our partners are largely folks from the greater East Side community, and at this time even over in Kittitas County. Mm. And we have a partnership with multiple cities, jurisdictions. We work with large nonprofits such as Mountains to Sound and also For Culture. We work with individuals. We work with individual business owners, chambers of commerce, all kinds of community-based organizations to try to pull this together. And, you know, essentially what we're trying to do is to create these building blocks of tourism at the local level that are self-contained and self-functioning and can feed the things locally. But then we try to tee that up so that the folks at the Tourism Alliance and the Convention Visitors Bureau will have these blocks to play with in their larger marketing efforts.
Excellent. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, if you are or have somebody or hosting somebody in from out of town for Thanksgiving, we're going to pick Susan's brain a little bit because she's just been sleeves rolled up, knee deep in all of this and elbows deep in all of this. And I'd love to talk with her about some things that you can see and you can take people to see that are right here in your backyard. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about that. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. All this information will be on walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Pearson, and along with my wife, Michelle Pearson, we're at the Pearson Law Firm, where we're called lawyers. But the truth is, we're really fathers and mothers and a family. A family of people who are members of a community where we are committed to preventing harm and protecting others, to enforcing rules that enhance our lives and take care of our families. That's what we do. That's who we are. At the Pearson Law Firm, you can call for a free case evaluation by calling 1-800-423-8473. We work with colleagues. We collaborate. We're committed to expertise and resources and making them available to members of our community. Call us at 1-800-423-8473 or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Have you heard the phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Do you wish you could train your brain to be more creative? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has trained individuals at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. Learn our proven process to think creatively and make great ideas happen. Our trainings are offered in person and online. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and we are thankful for listeners that are tuning in today. And for those that will be tuning in on our podcast, you can listen to us on iTunes. You can also listen to us on Podbean. You can get there through walkthetalkwithkim.com. And I'm really excited because we've had this contest that we've been running, and so we've been getting a lot of new Facebook friends. And of course, when you get new Facebook friends, then you have more people listening to your content. And I was looking the other day, and we've got people in Russia, South Africa, in Australia that are listening to the show.
That's so cool.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
So for those of you that are listening that aren't in the United States, we're celebrating a big holiday tomorrow called Thanksgiving. And it's an opportunity really for us to eat lots of food and, you know, unbutton our jeans. But the idea is to be thankful. And I think that's a worldwide thing right now. So I'm thankful for all the listeners out there, especially those of you that are listening and loyal and regular listeners. And thank you for supporting us and for all the nonprofit organizations that you've helped this year. We want to thank you. And I want to thank my guest, Susan Livingston, for joining us. Susan is with an organization called Outside Seattle. And we were just talking about the need of independent people and 501c3 and the community really needing to help itself. I think that was the big lesson that I heard, Susan, when Karen was speaking to the chamber. Who was speaking? You said she was with the new
Suzanne
executive.
Fletcher.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds like Karen. Sorry. Suzanne Fletcher. I know.
Susan and Suzanne, it confuses a lot of people.
See, that's why I have to write everything down. I've got my little paper plate of notes here so I don't write down. But what she was talking about, I guess that was the lesson, is that especially if you're a business owner or a small business owner or related to somebody that you would like to see successful in business, mm-hmm. having a pulse on these organizations and knowing what organizations are working with your community to promote tourism is huge.
Right.
It's very, very important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very, very important.
Yeah, we're much better together.
Yes, absolutely. So in this scramble, in this process to get an infrastructure built in more independently, Outside Seattle has this incredible website that I understand just launched, soft launch, as I'm doing my Wiggly launch this morning. Can you tell us about that?
You bet. Well, we've had an existing site up. You're welcome to visit. It's www.outsideseattle.org. We welcome you to stop in and take a look, and certainly feel free to email us at info@. And also hop onto Facebook and find us at Outside Seattle. This site and this project and program have been in existence for several years, but we are actually thrilled. We have just been through a rebranding process on the visual side.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and lots of new concepts. Essentially, we put together a team of folks that really reevaluated our project and this platform after the changes with the state, and we've figured out a new business model, and we're in the process of securing our partnerships. And the new site is beginning to reflect that. So know that it's a work in progress. We think it's gorgeous. We think it's clean and easy to use and really makes the most of the technology available to us now.
You know what I love about the site? I was looking at it this morning. You captured it. I mean, you got kind of the best of, and it's not your traditional picture of Snoqualmie Falls, which everybody has a picture of. And we love our falls. We're very proud of our falls. But if you only go to the Snoqualmie Valley to look at the falls and then leave, you're doing yourself a huge disservice. Because there's little routes that you can take in and out of town, and you will find some gems and treasures. Can you tell us about some of those?
Sure. Well, something that we're in the process of launching on the site, so if you do go to the site, you'll notice that this isn't completely built out yet, but keep in touch with us because you'll see a lot of this coming over the next couple weeks and months. We're working on a function called Minute Trips, and what we know is that there's some concern among travelers that when they come into a region, they don't really know how far apart things are. They don't know if they can go to out and hike and then show up at a certain restaurant wet and muddy with the dog. And there's just a lot of mystery around places that they haven't been before. So the goal of the Minute Trips is to assure people that when they use a Minute Trip itinerary that in the Outside Seattle region, that they'll be able to navigate a really logical progression through the Outside Seattle region, and that we'll be able to maximize their time in there and really have a logical flow through some of the best places to visit, whether it be the natural attractions, the mountains, the lakes, the rivers, the falls, certainly. Or in our restaurants, our shopping, our dining, and most of all, our people. We know that you know, the minute trip itineraries are developed with specific profiles in mind. So if you're a family, you're a romantic getaway, you're a history buff, maybe you're an outdoor adventurer who likes to rock climb. And then we also have you choose how long you want to be in the outside Seattle region. So is it a half day, a full day, a weekend? And then once you've clarified those two traits, we're able to pop some itineraries at you that will give you a nice logical flow through the area and some down, sort of human information about what, who to look for there and what to make sure you don't miss there and that kind of stuff.
So specifically, you and I both live in the Snoqualmie Valley, and so we talk about that a lot. It's not just the Snoqualmie Valley. There's a lot more to it. But for example, when you're looking at the Snoqualmie Valley, what are some of the hidden gems that people don't know about, like people in Bellevue and Seattle?
Sure.
First of all, I think people in Seattle don't realize how close the Snoqualmie Valley is.
That always surprises me. Yes. 30 minutes, you can be standing on the ground in the Snoqualmie Valley. We certainly have tons and tons of outdoor recreation opportunities for all ranges of folks. So if you're an experienced hiker or a climber, we have all those kinds of things available. And if you just want to sit by a gorgeous river, we certainly have all kinds of places available for that. We have tons of history in our valley.
Yes.
We certainly have the actually nationally recognized Northwest Railway Museum. Don't miss the Santa Train, actually, this month. It's just an awesome offering. We have a really amazing, again, a globally recognized hidden gem called the Treehouse Point, where you can actually sleep with your family in a custom, gorgeous treehouse that's just stunning. It's just a great experience.
Yeah.
You bet. Right above the river. Something else. Tons of farms, world-class dining. Don't miss the Woodman Lodge. Don't miss Finity's, our Irish pub.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of great stuff.
And Boxley's.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Down in North Bend, Boxley's. You bet.
There's a ton of them. And there's some really wonderful little shops, too. I love the fact that there's a lot of people that have just put it all out there, and they own these little, wonderful little gem shops. There's, you know, Sella Gifts. There's
Birch's.
Oh, my gosh. And she just opened a new little furniture store down the street.
Zoe Home. It's fantastic.
Oh, and it's Soulful Eclectic Living, which is so the valley.
It is. So Northwest as well.
And we have a lot of critters.
We certainly do. We have about 430 elk, for starters, on the floor of the valley. So that we certainly can help you figure out how to see them. Tons of just natural wildlife, deer, elk, you name it, and lots of farms. The Snoqualmie Valley Cattle Company is there. We have all kinds of longhorn cattle, you name it.
Yeah. And if you like to kayak, there's Rattlesnake Lake. If you like to hike, there's Mount Si, but there's also lots of little hikes. I've lived in the valley almost my whole life, and I went into the chamber office the other day, and there's a little booklet of all the little hikes you can take. I didn't know half of them.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll tell you, that chamber office is a really interesting place. We're located in a little historic brick building in downtown Snoqualmie, and we have literally thousands of people from all over the world to come through that space in the course of a year. So it's just a pleasure to host them and a real opportunity for folks working on our local economy to really tap into that and help them make the most of their time in our valley.
So if you've got people coming in, and let's say some of them want to shop and you're of the shop aversion type, or they've done their shopping and now they're napping and you want to do something, I would definitely recommend that you get your family together and you run up to the Snoqualmie Valley. If you live in Bellevue, it's 20 minutes. I mean, really, to get here to the Bellevue offices takes me 20 minutes. It takes me longer to get to the studios of KKNW across to Microsoft in Bellevue than it does for me to get from my house to here.
Right.
It's amazing.
Well, and this is the goal of Outside Seattle, is to really sort of tee up the greater East Side communities and over in Kittitas, and to help make it accessible and make it turnkey, almost a concierge type service for people, whether they're locals or they're folks from out of state or even out of country who want to visit and make the most of their time.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And so they can get more information on that tool and also to look at some things that are available at outsideseattle.org. Okay, and that's outside Seattle.org. That's pretty easy to remember.
We hope. That's the goal. To make it easy.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take another break here, I think. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what you can do in the Snoqualmie Valley. And also, we're going to talk a little philosophically about how you can help your own community with some of these things. I think Susan's got some really great ideas on how you kind of rally the troops. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150 Alternative Talk.
I'm bound to thank you for it. La, 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 la.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and at our firm, whether we're working on an automobile crash case or helping a client who's been injured by a defective product, we focus on justice. We're passionate about serving our clients. Our successful approach focuses on the right issue at the right time, with the best tools and expertise available. We focus on collaboration and cooperation. Clients support that process, and they respect our abilities to manage the legal process, to demystify it, and to explain choices and opportunities, and also their responsibilities. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's PearsonLawFirm.com. Or you can check us out at WalkTheTalkWithKim.com.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Here's a unique way to give back. Snoqualmie Valley business owner Chris Fagan of Think Shop is using her family adventure as a way to raise money for good. In December, her family will climb Kilimanjaro, the highest mountain in Africa, to help raise money to build two classrooms at a school in Tanzania. Learn more or make a donation at KilimanjaroForKids.com.
1150KKNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. And I think the theme we're going is, what are we thankful for today? I think I just want to be thankful for my wonderful, wonderful, patient and kind husband. I just have to bring that up because I'm a wild woman who's off on a million and four different things and I wear very, very many hats. And he is my rock and my grounding force. And I'm just very, very thankful on so many different levels that he's there to let me freak out and be okay. He's a great dad, isn't he, Gia? Yes, he's a wonder. She's nodding.
I'm pretty sure he knows who he married.
Well, okay. So, yeah, I do remind him often. He chose me. It's his fault as much as it is mine. But, yeah, we have a lot of fun together. And I just think, thank you, honey. You're awesome. And if my son's listening, too, I asked him to listen, but he's probably forgotten is doing his Thomas stuff, I would assume. Yeah, and Gia's nodding again. But if you're listening, Vincent, we're thankful for you, too. Welcome back, Susan. What are you thankful for?
Oh, certainly my family, most of all.
Yeah.
My community.
Yeah, it's a great community.
It sure is.
Hasn't always been that way.
Sure it has.
We've gone through a lot of growth.
Like
most communities. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with somebody, yesterday or today, and I was saying, you know, this economy has made a lot of people really, really suffer.
Yeah.
But it has also strengthened some incredible ties I've noticed in my community. And I guess I can really only speak for myself. But in 2008, before I left my Fortune 100 job and went off on this tangent that has brought me to the radio today, I lived in the community, but I didn't live in the community. I didn't know anybody. I, you know, grew up there, but everybody had already spread out. And I worked downtown. I traveled extensively. And so I'd come home to kind of refuel, do my laundry, and then I'd be off again. I did my shopping on the way home in a different town and all that kind of fun stuff. And in the face of really reevaluating what's important, the community, I think, has really matured a lot. And maybe it's me maturing and the community is just saying, yeah, welcome. But I think that there's a lot of people that were in the same kind of boat that I was that have just fallen back in love with their home. And it's really
their hometown.
Fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a great place to live and to work and to raise kids and to just and also to welcome people too
and to take care of each other.
Oh yeah,
to take care of each other. So kind of on that front, how did outside Seattle? I mean, we know that now there's an issue in terms of funding and things that really kind of put this on a fast track.
You
but
bet.
Where's the history? I mean, this isn't a brand new organization. It's been around for a little bit.
Yeah, it's been around for several years. 5-6 years ago, a gentleman named Jim Pearman, who's still is the mayor of Mercer Island, had this idea of creating an East Side Tourism Bureau. And Jim worked with Jim Kelly, Bob Cole, others to try to pull this thing together. And they did launch. And as part of that, the funding model was set up to be supported by something called Tourism Promotion Areas. And Jim worked closely with Marcy Maxwell and other legislators to push some legislation through that would create a funding stream through our lodging units, where essentially the lodging units agreed to assess themselves a tax per occupied room per night, up to $2 a head, and that they then in turn that money would feed back into the community focused on tourism investment.
And so what was kind of the push for that? I mean, before that, you know, it was Seattle, you know, the cruise ships and all that. And did we not see a lot of tourism on the east side that we should have? Were we losing out to competition or what do you think was happening?
I think we weren't necessarily just super focused and organized on tourism as a significant function. A lot of the sprawl that happened in the bedroom communities to Seattle really focused attention on the resources that were there for folks beyond just the neighbors throwing up houses. So the natural growth has focused attention out there for folks who live there and certainly for people who visit.
And so for organizations, little bedroom communities that aren't necessarily a part. So if you're listening, if you're in an area that has some natural resource or just some things that kind of differentiate yourself, what are some of the suggestions that you might have on how to kind of rally the local businesses and organizations and chambers to think differently? What are some of the best practices and where are some of the mistakes that you think organizations might make?
Sure. Well, one thing we know for sure is that we're definitely better together. So the days of doing things in isolation and trying to do it better or faster or, you know, snappier than the neighbors are over. So some of the founding principles for Outside Seattle and other organizations, and certainly many of our partners, are that we need to work together. This provides a lot of opportunities. One is for cross promotion. It also just increases efficiencies across the board. We're able to do better with staffing. We're able to have more leverage for strategic partnerships. And we're able to make sure that overlap and redundancies just aren't there.
You know, that's it rings so true with what you're saying specifically. Mm-hmm. So if we go back to the Valley as an example, there was a lot of promotion around Snoqualmie Falls and the Salish Lodge out there, you know, for obvious reasons. They have, you know, money to spend on marketing and advertising. And people would come and go see the falls and take their picture and get back in their car and go home.
Hundreds of thousands of them.
And there was nobody was staying, nobody was eating, nobody was, you know, they were just in and out. And when North Bend and Snoqualmie and the leaders kind of got together and said, you know, there's a natural, go down another couple of exits, come back down, you know, see, you know, take a little hike, go see the elk. You know, look at some of the old buildings and some of the history. I mean, the Snoqualmie Valley, it's not always been a logging town. Before that, it was a hop field.
Farming.
Mm-hmm. The largest hop producer in the world at one point in time was the Snoqualmie Valley, believe it or not.
And don't forget Weyerhaeuser.
And Weyerhaeuser and the logging community came in. And you can go up to Rattlesnake Lake, which is not a natural made lake. There was actually a town there. And during the low season of the year when the water's low, you can still see the foundations. And even where you and I live, there's a corridor of these just beautiful old sycamore trees that used to be a town.
Yeah.
And there's all these little things that you could just drive by on your way. And you could just have a whole experience other than just, you know, ooh, look at the pretty waterfall and then get back in your car and go home.
Right. We're very fortunate to have a great partner in Columbia Hospitality that manages our Salish Lodge. And certainly their new general manager, Mr. Rod Lapison, is a great partner for us in not only helping promote the Salish Lodge and Spa and certainly the Falls as a destination, but then also partnering with our chamber and Outside Seattle and lots of local businesses to really help host their guests that come into the lodge in the Falls and to move them through the community
right. And
help them really make the most of their time in the Snoqualmie Valley, not just at their property.
Well, that's in their best interest, too, because if people come because they're going to take a day trip to see the Falls, but if they realize that they can come for a weekend, you know, like you go to Orcas Island, you don't go to Orcas Island for a day.
Right.
You know, you go for a weekend. Well, you can do that here.
Sure.
And not have to pay the ferry and not have to spend, you know, a lot of your time driving.
Right.
And that works out for the Salish as well, because that's a beautiful place to stay. If you haven't stayed at the Salish Lodge, oh my gosh, it's gorgeous.
Fantastic.
There.
Well, sure. And really what we're trying to do is not necessarily compete with Orcas Island and other destination communities, but really mm-hmm. to train folks that that there are resources available. When you come to a community, you should expect concierge-type information to be available to you. You should look for it online, figure out the organizations that are hosting those communities, and whether it's a chamber, it's Outside Seattle, it's a city, there's tons of good information, and technology makes it really readily accessible. And for instance, Outside Seattle also has a mobile website, and our stuff is all compatible with smartphones.
So nice.
So it's all integrated with GPS, and it makes it really friendly for folks that are directionally challenged, even if they're locals or people who are just coming in cold from out of state or out of country, to really have a good experience.
Yeah. And even if you want to do events, like if you want to have retreat.
Yeah, corporate events, weddings, meetings, you name it.
All that kind of fun stuff.
Some pretty great resources, especially in the Snoqualmie Valley, to host corporate events. We're fortunate to have the Dirtfish Rally School,
yes.
which is located out at the old Weyerhaeuser Mill site. It's now.
I want to talk about history.
Yes.
Ross took me around and was showing me some of those old buildings, and they've got one of the power plants, might be one of the cooling plants, mm-hmm. that they just basically walked away from in 1986 or 96. Anyway, long time ago. And so you go walking through there and it's like they just said, okay, we're done today.
Snapshot in time.
Walked out the door. It's amazing.
Well, the folks that own that land now they call it the Old Mill Adventure Park, and they have invested in a world-class rally car driving school, which is not only fun for an individual to go out or a family to go out, but it just makes a fantastic offering for corporations doing mm-hmm. retreats and team building and that kind of thing. And they're just enjoying traffic from businesses all over the greater Puget Sound region and really from all over the world. And in turn, the partnership between Dirtfish and our community really helps those folks know where to find good meals before and after their time there, where to find a great massage after they're tired from traveling or being in the car all day, and also just where to pick up a souvenir to take home.
Yeah, all kinds of really great stuff. So let's say that you're a business owner on the east side, and you're saying, you know what, I want to be a part of this, because this isn't just one town. This is a conglomeration of organizations and chambers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you suggest that they go to get involved, to be a part of it, to get on the map, to be a part of the experience and working with other businesses to create an experience for people coming to their town?
You bet. Well, the Outside Seattle region is still forming and shaping in terms of which actual cities are and geographically who is involved. But what we do know is that there's a set of key partners in each region, in each city, that will be involved on some level. And these likely are our cities themselves, our chambers of commerce, and any types of business organizations that exist. Maybe it's a women in business organization like we have in the Valley, and I know there are others on the greater East Side community. But those are good places to start. And, you know, feel free to touch base with the Outside Seattle team, and we'll be happy to plug you into the infrastructure that we have, that we're building.
And so what's the advantage for them? It sounds to me like there's a dual role, right? There's promoting your own business.
Mm-hmm.
But I get this vibe and this feeling that there's also a labor of love involved in your community. What has that meant for you to be involved in something like this?
That's a good question. Well, it's just a privilege for me to do my best work in my home community. I grew up on the east side, but live in the Snoqualmie Valley and have since 1998. Raising my children there. And my mom's family's been there now for six generations. So for me to help position the Snoqualmie Valley as a great place to visit, a great place to do business, and a great place to live is just a privilege. But more than that, to help the Snoqualmie Valley reach out and partner with our local communities around us and even over the hill in Kittitas, it's a natural fit, and it's just a pleasure to try to put it together.
What are some pitfalls that people should look for when they're what we call the storming, norming, performing phase of anything? Yeah. We talked a little bit about this on the show last week when we were talking about Occupy Seattle. We were talking about the forming phase, and you're past that. You have the storming phase. So as other community leaders or people that are really passionate about their community are listening to you talk today, what are some of the best practices or things that you learned, some of the pitfalls that you would recommend to them to think about as they're pulling together a group?
I think a couple things. One is to have focus around what you're trying to do, whether you're trying to market a specific offering or you're trying to provide an education function, or, and what do you want from those you might partner with. The second thing is to before you start to build something from the ground up, take a look around and see if it exists somewhere or if there's a natural fit. We don't have the resources available to really build everything from scratch, and there most likely are folks working on the same problems as you somewhere else. So before you launch your own nonprofit or hang out your shingle, I think it's worth taking a look around to see who else is working on the same stuff.
I think 250,000 nonprofits in Washington State right now, registered right now. That's a lot.
That's a lot of goodwill in one state.
It's a lot of, it's probably a pretty good snapshot of what's happening in the business community as well.
It is.
You have very large organizations, but there's a lot more one man, two man jobs out there.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of the hope with this radio show, was that we would be able to bring together ideas and resources so that somebody can say, you know, I just vision and imagine somebody out there saying, you know, who owns a small coffee shop or diner in a small town someplace saying, you know, I keep working with my local people, but if we can align ourselves with something bigger and get put on the map and share marketing resources and share idea resources and just grow the community organically through what naturally works, that would work. I wonder, though, if there is probably not so much anymore, but we talk about competition. And I know you said it's not about competition, but there is inherent competition, meaning, you know, Snoqualmie versus North Bend, that we're trying to work through. But there's, that's with any organization. But then there's competition for people that don't want to do anything tomorrow, or people that, you know, the competition is the television set. There's, you know, the inherent competition, and then there's the, you know, not obvious competition, the apathy of the doing nothing.
Well, back to being thankful. I'm thankful to live in a country where all that is possible in the same 25 square miles.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we bump up against this a lot as a broad-based community organization. And something I should mention as a best practice is something I would call a public-private partnership. And this is a partnership that involves publicly held organizations as well as private funds. I can tell you that our Outside Seattle's relationship with the Mountains to Sound Greenway project and team, and also with 4Culture, has just been a gift. And in fact, they help us shape our territory and our priorities because we work on their region, and which does extend over the hill into Kittitas County. And it's just a great partnership all the way around with different priorities, different strengths, and different needs. And when we work together, it really works better.
We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk and wrap up today a little bit more. I'd love for you to explain a little bit more about Mountains to Sound, because I know people have heard about them, but I'd love to educate people on what that is, because I don't think very many people know what exactly that is and how that all works. But that's a great partnership. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Susan Livingston and Outside Seattle. You come on back. Think about what you're thankful for.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977, we at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
Does your organization crave new ideas? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has inspired creative thinking at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. We help you imagine new offerings, strategies, or ways of doing business. Our proven processes and engaging workshops deliver powerful results. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I got family and friends. I got satisfied work. I got a back that mends for every breath, for every day of living. This is my Thanksgiving.
This is Kim Ariano, and you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim as we wrap it up. I took one look at the girls and I said, you guys want to say something on the radio, don't you? And they all went, yes, we do. So we are welcoming to the show. We have Jane and we have Claire and we have Gia. And they're our daughters, our wonderful, beautiful daughters that go to school in the Snoqualmie Valley. So we're talking about what a great place it is to live. But let me ask you a question. And Jane, I'll start with you. What's the best part about living in the Snoqualmie Valley?
Probably the landscape and like all the beauties that there are to the community.
Yeah. What about you, Claire?
Mine is probably all the things in the community and all the wildlife that you can find and all the animals you see.
How often do you see the elk?
Very often, because I pass that way a lot when I'm either going to school or to other activities.
Yeah, I'll bet. Do you, Jane, do you see the elk in your backyard sometimes?
Very much.
Have you heard one of those elk bugle before?
Yeah.
They're loud, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible. Gee, but it's cool, but they usually do it at like 3 o'clock in the morning when you're trying to sleep, right? Gia, what's your favorite part about living and growing up in the valley?
I like all the trails that you could go through, and I like all the birds that I like and all the squirrels that I see on the way to my barn. And once I saw a bear in our yard.
You did. I've never seen a bear. I've lived here my whole life. I've never seen a bear, and you've seen a bear.
It was dark. I could barely see it, but I could see just a little tip of its head.
Was it scary?
It was cool.
It was pretty cool. And yeah. We see deer every day.
Yes.
At our house.
Especially when I go to gymnastics. Once we go there, they're far out. But once we come back, they're really, really like 12 feet from the road.
That's the elk herd that you're talking about, right? Yeah. We see them every day. Very cool. So what would you, Jane, what would you tell somebody who's never been out to the valley? What should they do when they come?
I would definitely go see the falls, but I'd also go to the Woodman for like a dinner or lunch.
I need to tell the Woodman that they need to comp me a meal. At least Jane a meal.
I see a hot fudge Sunday in Jane's
future. I do. Yeah, the great place. They've got the best burgers I've ever had at the Woodman lunch.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're really good. What about you, Claire?
I would probably tell them to come to here to probably see and do all the trails that are around here and to visit the falls and maybe to go on a hike on Mount Si.
What great ambassadors you guys are. Gia, what are you thankful for?
I would tell people to see all the elk because I see a lot of people seeing the elk.
Mm-hmm. But don't get too close to them, right?
Yeah.
You can look at them from a distance.
Because they got huge racks.
Yeah, racks, the antlers that are on top of their head, right? I hope that's what we're talking about. Anyway, yes, and so tell people when they come to the valley, when they're driving around that area, that Meadowbrook Farm area, if they see a lot of people pulled off the side of the road, to slow down because they're probably looking at the elk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you thankful for? Now, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for?
You.
Aw. Aw.
And my horse, Ruby.
And your horse, Ruby. She's a pretty one, huh? She was a rescue horse.
Yeah.
And you took care of her and brought her back to health, and now she's very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Claire? What are you thankful for?
I'm probably thankful for the great life I have and for my family and friends.
Yeah. That's awesome. Jane, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for all my family and friends and for them being there for me all the time.
Oh. Well, I'm thankful that you guys came on today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So, Susan, they were talking about the trails, and I think that's something that's very special for the kids in the valleys. Like I said, there's so many places that they can go. I've never even gone, so I promised you that we'll go explore some trails. But Mountain to Sound, so they're working in partnership with you, and I don't remember exactly how that all got started. You see the signs on the freeway, I-90.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what that is, what those signs mean?
The Mountains to Sound region is a huge acreage of land right along the I-90 corridor. And the organization is dedicated to protecting those lands, but also leveraging them toward all kinds of great stuff, toward using them in a way that minimizes damage, but also gets people out enjoying them.
So what I'm hearing you say when you're talking about Outside Seattle and all of these different organizations is really to provide an experience, whether it's for a couple of hours or a couple of days or a couple of weeks, a reason why people would want to come to the region.
Yeah.
Very proud of what we have here.
Oh, we are very grateful.
Suzanne was talking about a conference where all the states kind of show up and they have their booths and they run around and they talk. And I think what struck me about what she said is that it's not just necessarily competition inside. It's also competition between the states. So if you live in South Korea and you're planning a trip, you might go to California, you might go to Oregon, you might go to Nevada, you might go to Michigan. I mean, there's all kinds of organizations out there, and it's kind of a fight, you know, or lose out.
Yeah, I think to some degree it is, and that's why it's so important for each region and each state to understand really what we have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Washington State, we're very, very fortunate, and specifically in this Outside Seattle region, we have resources, you know, like crazy. Natural resources and historical resources and just great partnerships and great boutique businesses, but also great larger businesses that work, that offer just tons all across the country.
So we've been talking a lot about the businesses,
mm-hmm.
So the businesses in the valley. Is there an educational component to this? I know, you know, we're looking at these beautiful daughters here who have grown up, been born and raised in the valley, or growing up in the valley, and how have the schools played a role, or how has an educational piece kind of fit around this?
Yeah, the school district is certainly a partner for this, as they are with almost all major functions in the community. Education is just a critical function as relates to tourism. A couple things. One, we want to mobilize the people that live in the community to help tell the story. We want to give them the tools and information they need to just share about the place they live, to help people know how to plug in and come for a half day, come for a weekend, and come for a week, and come experience what they live within every single day. So that's educating them so that they can then share that with their community of folks. And then the second piece is to really do some education around the people on the floor who are interacting with our tourists. So do the staff on the floor at the restaurants and the cashiers behind the counter, do they know where the closest gas station is? Do they know how far it is to the falls? Can they help steward and host our region? And that's a huge education component of the project.
I love what you guys have done. You've gone out into the community and said, hey, do you love it here? Would you donate a couple of hours and come sit at the chamber offices?
Yeah.
And, you know, when people think of volunteering, and I've talked about this on the show several times, that, you know, you need to make sure that when you're getting a volunteer organization that you're not desperately grabbing somebody to give them a whole bunch to do, that, you know, there are bits and bytes and pieces.
Chunks.
Yeah, little chunks. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a lot of people that are signing up or wanting to sign up to sit in the chamber offices. And what a great idea. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. Well, the Snoqualmie Valley Chamber hosts two visitor centers in the community, one in North Bend that we operate during the peak tourist season, but we operate one in downtown historic Snoqualmie year round. And what we're seeing is just a steady surge of tourism traffic throughout the year. And our little chamber office sees, like I mentioned before, thousands of people from all over the world who come in. People come from Bellevue. People come from Belgium. So we are really grateful for our army of volunteers, because what we know is really our people are our tremendous asset. And you know, regardless of level of experience within the tourism industry, it's our people talking about why they live there and helping folks who visit plug in that makes all the difference for a great experience.
People love coming in from out of town and talking to locals.
Yeah, and they want the insider scoop.
Oh, they do. And they want to talk to people that are really excited and love their community. It feels very, very good for everybody involved.
And what we want to do is talk to them like we talked to your sister. You know, here's how you do this. Here's how you do the Snoqualmie Valley. Here's how you do the greater East Side communities. Here's how you do the I-90 corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And make it easy and turnkey and a no-brainer so that they can then be mobilized to go off and tell the story to their friends.
And I would definitely recommend that if you live in a small community and you want to give back, consider, donating a couple of hours I'm doing it, and I have already found some great rewards. Go to your local Chamber of Commerce office or your local visitor center or your town, wherever you live, or the closest town that you live, and ask them if you can get involved and help steer those. You learn a lot about your community.
Well, yeah, and the business community feeds itself. So the more you know about the businesses in the area and the local partners on all different levels and functions, the stronger the community will be and the stronger your experience will be.
Absolutely. Susan, thank you very much
That's
for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And Jane and Claire and Gia, thank you very much for coming on the show. You can get all of this information on walkthetalkwithkim.com. Don't forget, you can go to outsideseattle.org and we'll have all that information posted on walkthetalkwithkim.com. Have a wonderful, happy Thanksgiving. Eric, have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you. You as well.
And have a beautiful day, and thank you. It's a beautiful